storm coming on the radar, but that radar does not tell them what's happening on the ground. The Sky One spotters and the amateur radio operators will make a call to the net control in that area, and those repeaters link. And when they link, that gives more coverage for the area. And if you want a bad weather situation comes, you can listen to the Sky One spotters and the amateur calls saying, hey, there's down power lines here in this town on this street. And that's very helpful and useful, because once the net control collects that information and then sends it to Greenville Spartanburg, that's where Greenville Spartanburg will send that information to the Paris Mountain weather radio and tell people, you know, it's a way for amateur calls and Sky One spotters to have an impact and get the information out to through the radio system, the weather system up on Paris Mountain. Take shelter or be aware of fallen power lines. So when you hear that, typically there has been a spotter or a amateur call who has seen that and has called that in. So it's a pretty neat system. So there's one example where you have a net that is has a specific purpose. And KI4LZI mentioned that they're on the HF during a hurricane. There's a hurricane watch net, and they collect information from the affected area where the hurricane is, and will handle emergency traffic in and out of that storm for Homeland Security and Department of Homeland Defense and things like that. So, yes, there are some nets with a specific purpose. Some are just a purpose for a way for people to connect and to socialize and to have entertainment. But I hope that answered your question, and that's my take on that. Would anybody like to add anything else before we move to the third question?
Informational purposes. In the case, any time the hurricane watch net's activated, depending on what it's day or night, the daytime is 14.325. After dark, it's 7268. KI4LZI.
KPQ. I've been listening to the roundtable and didn't think I had anything to add up until this point. But I think it should be said that nets are usually organized around a purpose, but perhaps that purpose is simply to make sure that you can communicate, make sure that your equipment is operating correctly. Since there's so many bits and pieces that we require to get a signal to the repeater, sometimes they can go bad and we're not even aware of it. Don't know why we can't communicate. So each evening when we sign on to whatever net we might check into for a recurring net, like the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, we're verifying that our equipment is working. And some people might say we're verifying that our friends are still alive and kicking. And it's always good to hear their voices. Just wanted to add that little piece. KK4JBQ.
Are there any more comments? That was good, Larry. Thank you for putting that in there. Are there any more comments to... Are there... some nets with a specific purpose.
KC4EZM.
What?
KC4EZM, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES. I'm not sure what their status today is, working with the changes with Homeland Security, but that is another net that has a very specific purpose, and basically it's emergency communication, and they have some very strict protocols about how they operate their nets and things like that. So that is another one of those nets that has a very specific purpose, and I think when you go back to the preamble for this net, when they say it will be activated, that may be what they mean. Those of us that are just rag chewing will sit back and be quiet and be instructed on what we do next. So anyway, that's just another one of those very highly structured nets with a very specific purpose. So I think in general, somebody's already said this, each net has a specific purpose, and it varies from very specific like ARES and OXCOM to like we're doing right now, or providing instructions to new amateur radio operators, or in some cases old amateur radio operators who are maybe looking at a new facet of the hobby, to just a bunch of guys checking up on each other every day and making sure they're still alive and socializing. So I don't think you want to say that a net has one particular purpose. There's a whole bunch of purposes. And we'll turn it back to net control, KC4EZM.
Hope you got the answer to that question. You threw me for a loop with that question. I wasn't even thinking about ARES and the Skywarn and the Hurricane Net. But I know probably out west they've got nets like for fire watches and all with the wildfires out there. They ought to just let all of California burn, slam off, and slide on down into the ocean, slide toward Mexico. All right, go ahead, Chad. Take it.
Well, God, I just got a text that said thanks. So let me just take a second, if you don't mind, and say to this station, I'm going to ask the third question, but just trying to show you kind of how easy this is, and let's just take a break for a second, and if you would like to try to just come in and ask the third question, we'll take a break and give you an opportunity. If we don't hear from you, then I'll go ahead and ask your third question, but all you need to do is just push the button, and nobody's going to give you any hassles or problems, trust me. So we'll take a break just for a second. Move on to the third question. And I thought this was a good question too, and I don't know the answer to this one, so I'm curious if anybody else knows. Why do I need to give my location when I check into a net? Why do I need to give my location when I check into a net? I personally don't know the answer to this one, but I would like to comment on it after the wiser operator's comment.
Because I didn't want to go, like with the Skywarn situation, you got to know where the happenings are happening, or say like on the Hurricane Watch net. They're taking reports from all around in the area where the weather's active. That's why, one reason I know, just right off the top of my head, why you need to take and give your location to them. Walt, go ahead and direct it to somebody else. KI4LZI.
That's too long ago, Chad, that your call sign, that number in it, sort of designated what part of the country you were in. I mean, they shut ham radio down. I believe it was during World War II. You wasn't even allowed to own a receiver, let alone a transmitter. They didn't have transceivers back then. But like Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, I believe it was the 4 call sign. And if you were going mobile, or if you was leaving the call district you were in, and say go to up north to a two or a three call area, you had to let the FCC know and get permission before you could transmit in that call area. It used to be real strict up to, I don't know, how long has it been, Andy? 15 or 20 years ago when they let you go ahead and take a number from another call area, maybe where you used to live. It hadn't been all that long ago that they changed all that.
I remember when that used to be the rule here, especially, I guess, the 70s, the 80s, and right about the time when they started the vanity call system, that's when they dropped that, and the reason why now you can, like what Jerry's wife, which she's K3JOY, when they started that, that's when they dropped all that. Back to you, KI4LZI.
EZM. KC4EZN, Harry in Canada, North Carolina. That's kind of a semi-standard way to respond, and what that does is it kind of gives you the footprint of the repeater. If you look at your map, most of you guys are in South Carolina, but then you had a guy over in Marion check in, which tells you that in the case of an emergency, you have a possible way to communicate with somebody a little bit further away than you normally think about, like in Marion, or I live in Candler, which is, I'm about a mile and a half west of the city limits of Asheville. And then you have Duncan, KO4JKV, who lives in Asheville. And then you have Randy, KI4VLW, who lives in East Asheville. So depending on what your needs are, it just kind of verifies that this repeater reaches out, covers a pretty wide piece of geography. Occasionally, you have the gentleman from outside of Charleston that checks into this net, or a fellow in Gastonia. So basically, it tells you where people are, and I know there are some nets, especially I think the Rag-Chew, that they really know each other. They don't necessarily require you do that, but most of us have kind of gotten a habit of doing it because it tells people where you're at. Let you get a picture in your head of who you're talking to and where they're at. And then again, in an emergency, if you were up in the Asheville area, like Chad needed to get in touch with his wife, depending on where he is at in Asheville, he might be able to use this repeater. Otherwise, he might have to use the Mount Mitchell repeater. So that's just a helpful piece of information. I don't know that it's an absolute necessary that you do it, but it's if you listen to the repeater or the people talking on it. Like when we have a net, we all tell who we are, give our name, and power off where we're at, but if you hear two guys just chit-chatting, rag-chewing back and forth, well, they know who they are, and basically, they don't say, well, I'm Chad, and I'm over here in Campobello today, maybe I'll be in the deer camp tomorrow, that's not particularly helpful information when you're just talking back and forth. But in the situation of Annette, it helps everybody else that's out there listening get a good idea about where people are. Turn it back to you, Walt. Casey Corey's in.
Can I comment?
Go ahead, Chad.
I know this individual, and I kind of know possibly why this question was asked. And if this is a question geared toward privacy, then here is a response to that. Everything that everybody has said about giving your location in the net is important. Keep in mind that I thought it was great when I started checking in on the net, and I went up to the North Carolina, South Carolina line and picked up a free map up at the welcome station there in Landrum. And when an amateur call gives their location, I plot that on a map, and Harry's right, that allows me to see where my footprint is for this repeater, so I know how much coverage I have. If I'm in that area, I know I can use this repeater. The second thing is that if it's geared toward a privacy kind of concern, I just would like to remind you that when you got your license, you understand that when you were assigned a call sign, that call sign is public information. So you can go to the FCC website and just do a quick search for your name. And that information is there on the FCC website as a public, listed as a public domain, which means anybody can view it. And your address is listed. If you use QRZ.com, which most users do, it's not as difficult to find that address. You just type in the call, and it takes you straight to that information that you, that you have input into QRZ. So, if you have an issue with giving your location out, just be advised that it's already out. It's not, in my opinion, anything that you need to be concerned about, because it's public information. So that's what I wanted to add to that. Anybody else like to add anything else?
KC4EZN again.
Go ahead, Harry.
Just remember, one of the fundamental, I'm not sure what the right word here is, but the FCC Act of 1934 said that you have, and I'm going to use the word right, I'm not sure that is the correct word, but you have the right to receive any radio signal, electromagnetic radiation, however you want to describe it. And basically what that means is that privacy on this radio does not exist. And if you think about it a minute, anybody who has a radio can listen to this repeater. You've got to have a license if you want to talk on it. But you can listen. And like in your case, you have two physical locations that you check in from. and it may or may not be important to know what that is, but you have your home. Well, actually, you have three. You have your home, you have your deer camp, and then you may be mobile, you know, driving around wherever. Basically, just forget about privacy. And remember, anybody with a radio can listen to this signal, or anybody who has a phone and has loaded the Echolink app in it, anywhere in the world can hear me talking right now. So if I've got something, if I've got a privacy concern, basically I need to let go of this button on the microphone and turn the radio off. It's like I say, like you said, it is public information, and anybody who has a receiver can listen in on what we're talking about. Anyway, something I learned a long time ago when I got my license, and remember, and then I'll throw one more tidbit and then I'll quit. I have heard a couple of really interesting conversations when somebody was sitting on their microphone in their car and having a discussion with their spouse and did not realize they were sitting on the microphone and it was alive. So much for privacy. KC4EZN.
KI4LZI. Like in my case, that's how I found out about this. People were saying about anybody can listen. That's how I found out about amateur radio and its repeater that very way. By just monitoring. Because this is analog. KI4LZI.
Well, I am. Chad, you talking about going to QRZ and looking it up. You don't even have to do that. You just go to Google, type in a call sign, and it'll come up right there. The person's name, their location, and it'll have a map there with a little red balloon on it with the street and all. And then you can click on the little block that says satellite, and it'll show you a picture of your house with every car, everything in the yard. I mean, once you get that license, there ain't no privacy on this radio. Go ahead, Chad.
That's correct. And it's just important to know that. And I think that there's a price to pay for everything. And just understand what everybody's telling you. That location is not something that is hidden. And that can cause some issues if you go down that rabbit hole. But just want to make sure you understood that. Okay, so if there's no more comments, or are there any more comments for that question?
For JDQ. I think everything's been said tonight is well worth taking to heart. And you shouldn't, I mean, when I began in this hobby, I wanted to keep my head down. And there are ways of doing that. You will find that in talking to other people, if you have anything you don't want publicly known, you don't speak of it on the radio. Your person is still important, I think, to remain private as you can be in this modern world. As a matter of fact, there's one ham, I'm not going to identify him, but there's one ham who checks in with a location that is ambiguous. He always checks in and says, I'm in southern Greenville County. Now, if you're familiar with Greenville County, that's an probably the largest county in the state. It's a big place. Southern Greenville County is still a big place. Now, if you wanted to drill down into exactly where this gentleman lives and, you know, what automobile he drives and how long he's owned his house and the value of the home, I mean, all of that stuff's available on the Internet. Everyone, I think, has peeled back the onion here. Privacy is almost something we don't have anymore. But what should remain private will remain private if you don't speak of it. You still have your privacy. Privacy of person, I think in this world, it doesn't exist anymore. People know who you are, they may know where you live, but they don't know how you think, and they don't know who all your friends are, unless you give up a little more privacy and you join something like Facebook, and then they know who all your friends are. KK4JBQ.
So let me... That's dead on it, Larry. Let me make sure I got it. Not trying to sound rude or anything. That's not my intent. But basically, get over it. There's no other way to say it. And don't take offense to that. It's just when you have that call sign attached to your name, that's just the way it is. So you can mitigate some of that by, you know, just being mindful of what you say. But, you know, my dad used to tell me that all a lock does is keep an honest man honest. If somebody wants to know, I don't think an FCC call sign is going to make a difference. It's just too easy any other way. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. Just enjoy the hobby for what it is. And that's just the way it is. So would anybody like to make any more comments before I move to the last question? So last question is from a female operator, just got her license. So the question is, what is traffic? What is traffic?
Tells the guy, a person needs, one I got old here, I got one of these books here that's for the area's resource manual. There's a thing in it that goes through all kinds of different kinds of traffic in it. The only thing is, like you and I was discussing earlier, Chad, it being as old as it is, it don't cover all this new forms. But it goes into that book and describes all the different kinds of traffic, with health, welfare, routine, emergency, priority. That book describes it all. Back to you, Walton, directed around KI4LZI.
You a traffic handler on the South Carolina sideband, yeah, I think Andy just about covered it there. Unless Larry's got anything to add to it. Let me quit laughing.
Let me take it right quick, if that's okay. So I think what has happened here is that this individual was monitoring last night when Andy and I, or whenever it was, we were having a discussion about traffic. We were discussing the Simplex Net that was supposed to happen up here in Pickens on the 21st. And that's a really good question. It really is. So what is traffic? So the word traffic would imply cars and vehicles and traffic accident, you know, that's typically how we use that word. But in this particular place, it is basically a message that conveys information. But there's an implied definition that comes with the traffic. And here's what I mean by implied. So when you have a task like, I'm going to go wash the car. Well, that's the task, but there's implied tasks under that. I need to get a bucket, and I need to get soap, and I need to get a sponge, and get the hose. So there's a bunch of things that have to happen before you can do the main task, which is wash the car. Well, traffic is just like that. It's implied that you understand that this radio network or NET, National Emergency Traffic System, is a way to disseminate information and disseminate information correctly, because that is important. And what I mean by that is, if you send the wrong message or write the wrong number down in the message, for example, send me 6 cans of snails, but you really needed 60 cans of snails. The people that are going to consume those snails are going to be in a precarious situation when they only receive 6 of them. So that's why there is a procedure for traffic, and why there is a whole system built around traffic. Because as an amateur radio operator, that's, even though this is a hobby and you're not paid to do it, obviously you're here and have your license because you have a reason for that. And that is, typically, I want to be connected or have another means of communication. So, all of these questions are kind of really tied together. Harry was talking about giving your location, and if you need to move a message from Asheville all the way down to Charleston, you are going to have to rely on another amateur radio operator to take your message and send it on down the line so that it gets to the end destination, but it gets there correctly, and it gets there with every word that you say. In other words, if you handle a message for someone, it's not your job to interpret what the message is. It's implied that whoever is receiving the message is going to know what you mean. So it's your job to take the message correctly, or the traffic. And that's why I think traffic is included here, because it's moving along a geographical line to get to the destination. And Gary, KI4DOS, he's the traffic guy. I wish he could comment on this. He can comment a whole lot better than I can about it. But it's basically a message. And moving that traffic and accepting a little bit of responsibility as you being an operator to help someone in need if they need to move information along. So I hope that answers your question. Thank you, fellas. I'm sure I'll get a response. I know one of them is listening. But as usual, very helpful. And Harry, thank you for chiming in there. Just some good answers. And I'd like to encourage the two, well, the one that I know is listening, to just jump in, bud. Just jump in, and nobody's gonna hurt you. But I know you will when you're ready. So that's all I got. But just want to change the subject. If y'all are up to it, KO4NUE, and I am clear. But hanging around.
You don't have that 147, 195, tone 141.3 programmed into that radio. Program it in and get on our net next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. on that frequency. And odds are you'll catch Mandel, WR4XMR, on the net next week. Let's see, I don't know who picks it up next. Falk Winternet, whoever it is. KI4LCI.
More about that simplex, trying that out. Andy, you think I could reach Pickens from over here at Lake Bowen?
KI4LCI. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but the chances ain't for, you know. As we all know, it depends on your, like we was discussing here on our local net here earlier. What's it called? KF4GGK. He's running some things about all of us over here that's going to be participating in about the topography in the area. And try to look and see how well we can all make it, you know, in simplex to one another. We had planned on doing an ad on the 21st, but I heard on our local net over here after 8 o'clock on 147.195 that Mandel's WR4XM IEC over here, his work schedule got changed, and as a result, they had to be scrubbed for the 21st, and it's going to be tried some other time when it'll work out. I don't know when right now, but at some point, some other time, it was going to be over here in Pickens County.
It'll affect Gary, if possible, at all this weekend, and get that 2-meter beam, and already got everything. I can get it up probably 35-40 feet. Already got the rotator and everything to go with it. So I'm gonna try doing some simplex, and I'm wanting to work some 2-meter CW. I've heard some guys talking about that on this net, and another one or two. And a lot of things I'm going to try this winter. I know about every one of you heard that new ham out there, Andrew, KO4ULG, 13 years old. And he's got his younger brother is getting interested in it, and he's going to try to get his license. And he's very strict about that logbook. His brother got on third party today and said he was Andrew's secretary. He's keeping his logbook straight for it. So if y'all hear him on there, give him another number, call sign, go in that logbook. So I don't know who else is up next, but I think it might be Larry. You got anything, Larry?
I suppose nothing in particular. However, I would like to say one more time how helpful I think this is, and how thankful I am to you, Walt, for making this possible. I think we can all agree that this is your baby, and it's shown itself already to be valuable, but I think as it goes on, it'll become very clear that to everybody that this will be the place to come, the place to show up and ask your questions. This is a comfortable place to be. There's no threat here. No one's going to call anybody names or presume that because you ask a question, don't know anything. Yes, you have a question about a specific topic, and it should be worded as clear as you can to elicit the answer you hope to reach. But otherwise, this is not a threatening place. This is a good place. I just want Chad's friends to hear that, if they are still listening, and be assured that it may sound like we're all knowledgeable, but we are all still learning. Each and every one of us is still learning. I can't be clearer than that. KK4JBQ.
Hey, sure, I got it. Just want to let you know that I can hit Table Rock, Sassafras, Long Mountain, and Glassy. Not Table Rock, but Glassy. I can hit those from my house easily. But with Simplex, just keep this in mind that Simplex can relay just like HF can. So, you know, just keep that in mind. With Simplex, with relays, it's kind of like this really weird network that just kind of morphs on its own. But that means that, you know, you have to be pretty comfortable with the radio to just jump in there and say, hey, if you're on the edge of that Simplex range, you know, hey, somebody can step up and say, hey, let me extend that range and see if I can relay and get the information out. And if everybody did that, you just think about how far that traffic can go. So, we'll get with Andy or Mandale and find out when the date is. And we'll just, you know, we'll see. We'll see if we can, you know, kind of relay in or something. I'd be interested to try. I've never done a Simplex net before, but that sounds pretty fascinating to me. I think also that may be when that Slim Jim is going to shine. I don't know yet, but we'll see.
KO4JKB?
Yeah, I heard about that Simplex net coming up, and I missed the frequency, because that'd be something interesting, because since I got my ticket just about a year ago, my goal is just to see how far I can listen, see how far I can transmit. So, and there are a couple Simplex nets listed, but I don't think they do them that much up here anymore, but... do you have the information on that, what day that is, and what frequency that's supposed to be on?
LZI. Well, it meant to be for Pickens County, but anybody, right now, it's kind of up in the air. It is. I got an email last night saying it was going to be the 21st, but on our local net out here, I heard that it got... his work schedule got changed, so right now I can't really say when it'll be, but doing Simplex like Walt was talking about up there, you need to have a super, super good station. those booms he's got. Y'all, some of you saw where AK lived down along the river down there. That's what he used to make sure that he could get into the 610 repeater good. Because without it, he couldn't get into it that good. But there's also a lot of activity that goes on 5-2 on these summits on the air and so on like that. You'll hear activity on 5-2 about that sometimes. But this that we're going to do was going to be on the Pickens County Aries simplex frequency of 147.540, but every county has their own simplex frequency, KI4LCI. And I'm going to have to get out because the time it comes back around, I have to take in. So y'all carry on, KI4LCI, and Chad, program that in it, because I doubt, to my knowledge, I'm not aware of AK ever working that machine. And you can question Randall directly yourself next Tuesday during our net over here, KI4LCI.
Thanks for that info, KL4LZI. And, yeah, I don't think I'd be able to do a simplex thing from my location, but I was just thinking for fun on that day, maybe go up on the parkway and see if I can make some contacts. But I wrote that frequency down, but like I said, I enjoy all the information on this net, and, yep, good to be part of the club, and I should start paying dues soon, I assume, but I'm still listening. This is KO4JKV.
KV, KO4NUE.
KO4NUE.
So, write this down, just so you know, the manager for that is, his name is Mandel. His call is Whiskey Romeo 4 X-Ray Mike. Shoot him an email, and he'll gladly give you the, you know, simplex frequency that you know you can jump in. But I'm not sure they know what that frequency is yet. Typically, Pickens County will just broadcast over this date. We're going to have a frequency. We're going to have a simplex net. And they'll list the frequencies there. But, you know, if I hear something or Andy hears something, we'll put it out on the Blue Ridge. And, you know, I'm sure they would love to try to get a check-in just to see how far they can move out. But like I said, for the first station that asked the set of three questions, why do I need to give my location? So I also would like to just add, you understand that if something happens to this repeater, we get so comfortable with using the repeater and having the footprint and coverage that it has, which is a wonderful thing. But if that repeater, you know, gets damaged in an earthquake or falls off the side of the mountain, okay, what then? So just keep that in mind and practicing things like simplex is pretty important. But, you know, you kind of have to have a location to know where everybody is to do that. And Duncan, you never know. You know, you get enough people step up and move that message along, you know, you might can make it to Asheville. Or you get up on top of the mountain, and I think you'd have a problem there. But if that does work out and you get on the mountain, hey, I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to know. But when I find out, I'm gonna try to jump in and see if I can contribute to KO4NUE.
KO4JKV, yeah, that is exactly why I got into the hobby, for preparedness and communication, and it's not just to, you know, listen, it's to be a part, and yeah, I like those questions that you brought forth to the net. And the fact that that it's important to be able to know the location of operators, so you know your limits of the range of your capabilities, and so that's what I try to figure out, and I write notes down every day, and I listen to people in reverse, so maybe I have to contact somebody so I know I can get a hold of this person or that person. So yeah, I'm really into it, and I'm always here to help, and I'm always into learning, and I'm about to test for my general, and looking at HF receivers, but I'm just so glad to be a part, and I listen to this net every night, you know, but and so much information. But yeah, you can always count on me. I'll always have my ears on. I have a Mickey Mouse system up here, but it seems to work pretty good. KO4 JKB.
As long as it does the job, right? It sounds like me. You got a pretty good station. But anyway, just going to let you know that. So, Walt, Larry, Andy, pick it up.
I am KK4JBQ and KI4LZI. I think he done went and took his insulin. But Larry, I can't count the comments I've had about how much they enjoyed me starting this round table. And I had been checking in the net, well, their net control station, and I knew there was people out there wanting to ask questions, but that were afraid to get on the range portion. And it crossed my mind, why not have a round table after the net? Just an informal get-together so the newer hands will feel more comfortable coming in and asking questions. And I asked Dave, W4DJW, about me doing that. He said, well, Walt, we have the range portion. That's what that's for if they want to ask questions. But if you want to try it, give it a try. And the one person that finally pushed the button and caused me to go ahead and start the round table was KO4NUE, and he was a technician. As Chad stepped up, he wasn't afraid to get on that mic. He was asking questions. And I think you, Larry, and W4DJW, KI4LZI, and Harry up there at Candler, KC4EZN, I thank all of you that stick around here and help me answer these questions. And I know I don't know them all, but I really appreciate all of you sticking around and helping me with it. And Chad, you are the reason I started the round table. And I really appreciate what you're doing, relaying questions, whether it's by text or email or phone or word of mouth from other new hams that are still afraid to get on here and be embarrassed or something, which we all know that they're not going to be embarrassed. No question is stupid except the one that's not asked. So with that, I don't know where it goes. I guess it goes back to you, Chad.
I'll find something. So the first time I started asking questions and I was scared to death. I was. I think it was Harry who was talking the other night that when he first keyed the mic, first time he talked, when he got through talking, he said he was shaking. He was so nervous and scared. And I was scared to death that somebody was going to make fun of me or embarrass me or so on and so forth, and that did not happen. But my thirst for knowledge outweighed that, and just, you know, it's I think my mindset was, as long as they can't take my birthday away, then no harm, no foul. So, you know, but I do know that the first couple of sessions were difficult for me to do, but I certainly understand this whole mic fright thing. I do. But yeah. So I do appreciate what you do, Walt. That's been really helpful, and to be able to get some questions and relay them in, that's kind of neat too. But I'm hoping he's gonna understand this is not a bad thing, and just check in and check things out. But anyway, Larry, if you don't have a comment, I'm going to change the subject.